Okay, get ready because we're going deep on a case today, one that's like ripped straight from the headlines, you know? Like, picture this, a high-speed chase. But it doesn't just end with someone getting arrested. Two police helicopters end up colliding in midair.
Oh, yeah, this one's a doozy. Total disaster, tragic consequences, and it really brings up these huge legal questions like, where do we draw the line when it comes to holding someone responsible for murder?
Right. And the case that throws all this into question is People v. Acosta.
Exactly. People v. Acosta. This case throws us right into the middle of a debate about murder liability. Like, can someone be guilty of murder even if they didn't directly cause the deaths?
Big question. So, to understand how we even got there, let's back up for a sec. We've got Acosta behind the wheel of a stolen car, leading police on this crazy 48-mile chase. I mean, we're talking Orange County, California here, blowing through red lights, going the wrong way.
Oh, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah, much worse, because this whole wild chase, it ends with two police helicopters. They were part of the whole pursuit thing, crashing right into each other. Three people dead.
Okay, so naturally, Acosta gets charged with 3 counts of second-degree murder. I mean, you'd think open and shut, right? His actions led to the chase, which led to the crash.
You'd think so, right? But that's where things get a little wild.
Uh-oh.
The California Court of Appeal actually overturned those murder convictions.
What?
Yep. And to really grasp why, we've got to wade into some legal stuff, proximate cause and implied malice.
All right, let's break those down then. Proximate cause first. Sounds like we're talking about whether there's a direct link between Acosta's actions and the deaths, right?
You got it. It's not enough to just say, well, if he hadn't been speeding, none of this would have happened. The law needs a much stronger connection. Like, think of it this way. If you accidentally knock over a domino and it starts this whole chain reaction, right? Are you responsible for every single domino that falls?
Good point.
Right. Or are you only responsible for the ones that were like a foreseeable consequence of your action?
I see what you mean.
So with Acosta, the court had to figure out, was that helicopter collision a predictable outcome of his crazy driving?
Right. And I bet it's not that simple.
Nope. It gets even trickier, actually. During the chase, you know, they had a retired FAA investigator who took a look at everything.
Yeah.
He concluded that one of the helicopter pilots actually violated a bunch of FAA regulations.
Oh, wow. So even with that potential pilot error, they still had to decide if Acosta's actions were like a strong enough cause of the deaths?
Exactly. And get this, the majority of the court actually decided that, yeah, police helicopters joining a high-speed chase, that's a pretty foreseeable scenario. They figured the pilot's mistakes were definitely a factor, but didn't totally break the chain of events leading back to Acosta. But not all the judges agreed.
Wait, really? On something that big?
Oh, yeah, major disagreement. One judge, Justice Crosby, he filed this dissenting opinion. He was basically arguing that the helicopter crash was way too removed from what Acosta was doing down on the ground, like too unpredictable.
So he thought it shouldn't be directly tied to Acosta?
Pretty much. He called the crash a total freak occurrence.
Wow. So even legal experts looking at the same facts can come to totally different conclusions.
It happens all the time, and it shows how complicated these legal concepts are,
Yeah.
and we haven't even gotten to implied malice yet.
Oh, right. Okay. So what about implied malice then? Like, what does that even mean in a legal sense?
It's all about a person's mindset. To get a murder conviction, you need more than just someone dying because of what you did. You've got to prove intent.
Right, like they meant to do it.
Exactly. Implied malice is what they call it when someone acts with this like conscious disregard for human life.
So the question is, did Acosta actually intend for those pilots to die? I mean, he was driving recklessly, but is that the same as wanting them dead?
That's exactly the issue. Implied malice isn't about specifically aiming to kill. It's about knowing something is risky and doing it anyway. Like, think of someone playing Russian roulette. They might not want to kill, but the action itself shows a total disregard for life. And legally, that's a form of malice.
So even though Acosta was driving like a maniac, the court wasn't convinced he knew how deadly it could get.
Right. They basically said fleeing the police in a car, yeah, it's reckless, but it doesn't automatically mean you can see a mid-air helicopter collision coming. They said there wasn't enough evidence to prove he was aware of that specific risk.
Interesting. So was there another dissenting opinion on this too?
You bet. Another judge, acting presiding Justice Moore, he argued the opposite. He said Acosta's behavior was so wildly reckless, it showed he just didn't care about human life at all. Even if he didn't plan for anyone to die, Justice Moore thought the level of danger was so high, it totally fit the definition of implied malice.
So he was looking more at the whole picture of Acosta's actions, not just whether he could predict that specific outcome.
Exactly. He was basically saying, look, this guy was driving like he had a death wish, not just for himself, but for anyone around him. So even though Acosta didn't directly cause the deaths, Justice Moore felt his actions were malicious enough to count as murder.
Wow. So we've got these two major legal concepts proximate cause and implied malice, and even the judges are split on how they apply here.
Yep, and that's what makes this case such a big deal. It really makes you think about where criminal liability ends.
Right, right. It's definitely a lot to unpack.
It is, and, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
All right, welcome back. We're digging into the People v. Acosta case. Remember that high-speed chase that went so wrong, those helicopters? The court really struggled with whether Acosta's actions were, like, legally murder.
Yeah, this case really flips our ideas of blame and responsibility on their heads. You know, just because we feel like someone deserves to be punished doesn't automatically mean they've broken the law.
Right, and that's what's so interesting about Acosta. It's not just about this one event, right? It makes you think about how we define blame, especially when the consequences are unintended.
Exactly. And this debate this case started, it's still going strong in legal circles today. Acosta really showed how important it is to look past our initial reactions and, like, really focus on the specific things that need to be proven for a conviction.
So it's a reminder that the law isn't about, like, morality. It's about meeting those very specific legal definitions.
Absolutely. Like, we might feel angry about what Acosta did. We might even think he deserves to be punished. But the law works on a different level.
Yeah, yeah.
Prosecutors need to prove things like proximate cause and that the person had the right mental state for the crime, even when the result is something horrible.
Sounds like Acosta set a pretty high bar for prosecutors in these kinds of cases, then. It's not enough to just show the defendant's actions led to a bad outcome.
Right. That's one of the things that makes this case so important. It made prosecutors be more careful in how they look at causation and mental state, you know, especially when you're dealing with stuff that wasn't intended. Acosta really showed the challenge of figuring out where one person's responsibility stops, especially when other people's actions are part of the final result.
It's like, how do I put this? Trying to untie a huge knot.
Ah, I like that.
Acosta does something, sets things in motion, then you've got the pilot errors, the helicopters crashing. It makes you wonder, how much control did he actually have?
A great question, and that's what People v. Acosta wrestled with. Remember, most of the court thought the pilot's mistakes, while serious, didn't completely let Acosta off the hook. They still saw a link between his reckless driving and the crash.
But one judge didn't agree, right? He thought the pilot errors made things too uncertain.
That's right, Justice Crosby. He said even without the chase, those pilots might have made the same errors and crashed anyway. And it's a valid point. If you bring in the possibility of, like, human error, does that automatically mean the first person is no longer responsible?
So Acosta didn't really solve this whole intervening causes problem. Just showed us how tricky it can be.
It did, and it made courts and legal experts really think about how we decide blame when so many factors contribute to something tragic. That conversation is still going on. How do we balance individual responsibility with the idea that things rarely happen in a simple, straightforward way?
Right. It shows how the law isn't always so black and white. Lots of gray areas, especially with those unintended consequences. So what can we actually take away from all this for lawyers, law students, anyone in that world?
Well, People v. Acosta really drill home the importance of proving both proximate cause and the mental state needed for a crime, especially for something serious like murder. Showing the defendant's actions started a chain of events isn't enough. You've got to show the outcome was a foreseeable consequence and that the defendant had the right mental state. Without that, the whole argument for holding someone responsible for murder starts to crumble.
So it's not just about pointing at a tragedy and saying it's their fault.
Exactly. It needs a much deeper, more careful analysis of the evidence. And that's a good thing. It makes sure we're holding people accountable fairly and in line with the law. But it also means that even when we feel strongly someone should be punished, the law might not allow for it.
This whole discussion has really shown me how complex the legal system is. It's not just about finding the bad guy and punishing them, right?
Absolutely.
It's about this whole process of applying legal principles to real-life situations, which are hardly ever simple.
You got it. And People v. Acosta shows that perfectly. It makes us look at how complicated the legal system is and how our ideas of justice don't always line up with the law.
A case that keeps on giving decades later.
It does. And speaking of giving, I think it's time to give our listeners something to think about as we head into the last part of our deep dive.
Ooh, a cliffhanger. I like it.
All right, so imagine this. What if Acosta had known those helicopters were following him? Would that have changed how the court looked at implied malice? Would knowing about the helicopters be enough to prove he was aware of the risk of a crash? Aware that people could die?
That's a good one. Makes you think about the difference between just driving recklessly and actually knowing how deadly things could get. Just knowing about the helicopters wouldn't automatically mean Acosta knew they were going to crash, right?
Exactly. That's the key. Would knowing alone mean he was consciously disregarding human life? Did he understand people could die and just keep doing what he was doing anyway?
Lots to think about there. It seems like to prove implied malice, the prosecution would have to show more than just Acosta knowing about the helicopters.
You're right. They'd need to connect the dots, show that knowing about the helicopters turned his reckless driving into something that showed a conscious disregard for life.
Yeah. Without that extra piece, proving implied malice would be tough.
You got it. And that's what we'll get into in our final part. Would just knowing about the helicopters be enough? Or would they need more?
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive. We've been looking at the People v. Acosta case, remember? All the legal twists and turns after that crazy chase and the helicopter crash.
Yeah, it really makes you think about those gray areas. You know, causation, intent, all that. And where we draw the line for legal responsibility. Last time we were talking about, what if Acosta knew about those helicopters the whole time? Would that have changed everything?
Right, like, would that alone be enough to make it murder?
That's what we're trying to figure out. Remember, for a murder conviction, you need more than just a terrible outcome. You got to prove that mental state implied malice.
Right, right.
Knowing something is dangerous isn't enough. It has to be about knowing that death is likely.
So even if Acosta knew about those helicopters, would that automatically equal him knowing a crash was likely? I don't know.
It's a tough argument. I mean, police chases happen all the time.
True.
Even with helicopters, and they usually don't end with a mid-air crash, for the prosecution, it'd be a big hurdle. They'd have to show that knowing about the helicopters meant Acosta understood his actions could cause a fatal crash, like he knew in his own mind.
So they'd need more than just him knowing. Like, maybe Acosta said something about the risk to the helicopters, or did something specific to endanger them on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. They need to connect the dots, show that knowing about those helicopters turned his reckless driving into something that showed, like, he had no regard for human life. Without that extra link, proving implied malice would be really hard.
This case really shows how important the defendant's state of mind is, right? What they understood about what was happening. It's not enough to look at the outcome and work backward.
Right, you nailed it. The law isn't just about consequences. It's about intent. It's about holding people accountable for what they knew or should have known when they did something.
So even in a case as crazy and tragic as People v. Acosta, the whole legal argument rests on those small details. It's wild when you stop and think about it.
It really is. And that's why cases like this are so interesting. They force us to examine the principles behind our legal decisions. You know, the limits of responsibility, that blurry line between being reckless and being malicious.
I've got to say, this whole deep dive has been eye-opening. The law is so much more complex than I thought. It's not just about finding someone to blame and punishing them.
You got it.
It's about applying legal principles to situations that are, like, never simple.
Right. People v. Acosta is the perfect example. It reminds us that the law isn't always black and white. There are tons of gray areas, especially when we're talking about unintended consequences.
Well said. Okay, before we wrap up, I have one last question for you, and something for everyone listening to think about, too. What if they had upheld Acosta's conviction? What would that have meant for other cases like this where the outcome was unintended?
Oh, that's a great question. Legal experts are still debating that today. Would it have made murder charges easier to get, even when someone's intent wasn't totally clear? Would it have blurred the lines between recklessness and malice?
Big questions, for sure. Makes you realize that every legal decision has a ripple effect. You know, it changes how we understand the law and how we use it going forward.
Exactly. And People v. Acosta, even though it's about one specific thing, it's had a lasting impact. It's changed how we think about legal responsibility, causation, and even justice.
It's a case that'll keep people talking for a long time.
Definitely. Well, it reminds us that the law is constantly evolving. You know, we're always facing new challenges and trying to understand how people behave. It never stops.
Well, I think it's a good place to end our deep dive into People v. Acosta, but the conversation doesn't stop here. Keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep those legal minds sharp. We'll see you next time, WDE.